Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 170, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, February 4th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Yeti or not, can't decide, that love, gonna find truth by watching Frozen. Yeti or not, dead bodies with no clothes on. Soviet soldier dead by monster. My dead body on the Dyatlov Pass, smashed around and naked to confuse your ass. That is courtesy of the Yeti or not from Bub Andrew Bub, from in reference to the Dyatlov Pass story that we covered recently. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host, Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus,
aka Emily in Paris, Golden Globe nominee.
Wow. Yes, indeed.
Wow, good for her.
We're talking snubs, flubs, and dubs.
Listen, I scanned the list and I didn't see a Forky in sight, so I'm fucking chill.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. This is a fucking powerhouse of a show. The hilarious, the talented, one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, Lacey Mosley!
Hey, what's poppin'? Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I feel like I haven't been here in a minute.
It's so good to
have
you.
Welcome, good to welcome. See y'all. Good welcome. To be had. Good to be seen and not be viewed, as the old blacks say. You get it?
Lacey, what's new with you?
Oh my gosh, what is new with me? It's so funny to me because people in Hollywood and celebrities and stuff will be like, guys, we all need to be staying at home. But then, like, we're all, like, fully back at work. So we've been shooting this entire time. Now I get tested. Like, look, my nose is getting tested like it's doing pornos. It's getting tested every day, twice a day. at this point, I don't even feel anything in there anymore. It's just like, yeah, do it to me. And they're like, we already did it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I remember when I first started getting them done, it was just like full, like Nefertiti, like they were scrambling my brain. Now I just don't feel it anymore. Maybe I'm numb. So yeah.
Damn. That's good that they're like they're testing you as much as they need to, though. I'm always so scared that like sets that aren't doing it right. That's good.
Yeah, no, everyone's on a testing schedule, and then you work in your one little bubble. You don't, so you don't see or talk to anybody else on set who's not in that bubble.
Wild. Cool.
Netflix just got sued for having not great set safety. I think it was more in the early days of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But
there are still sets like that where they're just like, yeah, yeah, we tested. Yeah, yeah. Like, I won't say the name of this set, but there's a set that's like fully up and running. It's a huge show. You would know it. And I know people who work on it. And they told me that two of the leads, well, okay, so one of the leads is like, they're like a married couple. I can't say more than that because it'll give away.
And Emily, one of the leads was like, Paris, the two leads.
Emily and Paris, the city.
They got annulled.
They were like, hey, I saw your Instagram and you were fully at a party. And then someone else on the crew was like, yeah, I saw that Instagram post too. And it made me so upset. And then that person said to the second person was like, what the fuck, man? You was just in Vegas yesterday. Don't talk about me. And then it just started, like, everyone just started snitching on each other.
God.
Wow. Just a
that
circle.
Is, what a
like
what
I
a
saw
journey.
You making out with the staff of Applebee's on Tuesday.
I mean, who among us though, right?
Right.
Who could resist?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that this pandemic is not great at coexisting with capitalism. Like, I heard from one actor that they went in for a test and it was like short notice. I think they were a replacement for somebody else. And so they needed the test to be negative. And so they like barely grazed the outside of their nostrils to when they were testing them because they just, you know.
Oh my God.
They're like, oh, well, they if did, it's like, just positive, in case, everyone will just get sick and that's fine. What?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like, then your show's just going to get shut down for, like, 2 weeks. It's not worth it. That's so, ugh. There's no good way to go through this stuff. I'm curious of what happened with the Tom Cruise COVID bots on the set of Mission Impossible. I'm like, did those end up existing?
What were the COVID bots?
It was because it was when I was covering for you, Jack. Tom Cruise got really mad.
I remember that.
He got really mad that COVID protocol was not being covered. And so instead of like advocating for better standards on the set, he bought robots to go around and spy on the cast and crew to see if everyone was following social distancing guidelines. He literally was like, I know what we'll do. Big Brother COVID robots, but I haven't heard about them in a while. I wonder how it's going. That sounds terrifying.
They couldn't just
all,
have like COVID officers around who watch people. He's like, no, we're going to get robots and they go follow them into the bathroom too. They go follow them.
Little like Xenus on wheels. Like, what the fuck? It's so dark. But he allegedly did get some COVID bots. So I wonder how it's going. I wonder if they're friendly.
Didn't he decide to take a step back from filming or something, like take a break because he kept having like meltdowns on the set and like they kept leaking them. He was like, maybe I need to. I think it's a dangerous direction to take one's narcissism to like think you control every, like it seems like both everyone around him and he are convinced that he is like a god of some sort.
All right,
so,
that's the thing. Is like,
honestly,
it's hard.
He's too
like,
short for that. Well, I can't believe that's really held up because the man is so tiny when you see him. Oh god, is he still up in that Scientology? Is he still rocking out with Xenu?
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah, these are little Xenu bots.
Just in the few times I've seen him speak, not guarded, the Scientology video where he's like talking about how he can save anyone's life if he like drives by a car accident and stops, he can save their life. And then like when he was talking about the set being like him basically propping up all of Hollywood on his shoulders, it's like, that's a lot of pressure he's putting on himself via his just wildly unhealthy narcissism. All right, let's get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Lacey. First, just a few of the things we're talking about. COVID cases are starting to fall. We will talk about that and the mysterious circumstances surrounding that. I don't understand why they would be falling now. There is kind of a weird detail that I just found out about. We can touch on briefly that weather is a big factor in whether in how much COVID is spreading in a given location. It's like not really being reported on, I feel like, because people feel like it's out of your control, but it does. I'm like glad to know it. We'll talk about Fox News. Sean Hannity is suffering from depression live on air. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Lincoln Project. Turns out they were the bad guys. We will talk about the stimulus package. Jeff Bezos. I got a couple things to say about this Bezos guy. And the Golden Globes, of course. We will talk about them. All of that, plenty more. But first, Lacey, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Something about my search history that is revealing about me is I have been doing a deep dive on Cynthia Rowley and her fashions. And the reason for that is because on The Bachelor this season, with the Black Bachelor, who is like pretty much white, but is still brown.
A young Republican.
Republican who loves God and never had a black dad, you know, as us blacks be all the time. So Cynthia Rowley's daughter, Kit, is on the show. And she kept kind of being like, you know, my mom is just like a fashion icon. And, you know, I'm just in the public eye all the time. And I was like, who's I? I ain't never seen you. And then I Googled her.
I was about to say, should I know who this is?
I know. No. I was like, I didn't know they were doing nepotism picks on Bachelor now.
Right? No, she gives very much Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl. Like, it's like whatever scene she's involved in, I'm sure the girls know who she is. But, like, I would have never known. So I had to Google her. And then I was like, why is she on this show? She could go find her an oil tycoon or something. Like, why is she trying to be with Matt in his two-bedroom apartment? Like, what you doing, boo-boo? You could do better than this. I don't know. I mean, love is important. You know, love first. But,
Are you out on the season based on this dude being kind of not as cool as initially advertised, or are you still in?
Nope, I'm still in. I am disappointed that I know ABC is not going to show his do-rag. Like, I want a fantasy suite where he wake up and with the do-rag on with the cape in the back, and I want it blowing in the wind. I want it Fabio style, but I know I'm not going to get that. But I'm still going to watch because I love Mass.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. It's a good... This girl, this Blair Waldorf is the perfect... holy shit.
Right.
She's like a
real Blair Waldorf ass.
She's a generic, she's a Blair Waldorf light, because you can tell her hair is not actually blonde in the first place.
Right. I think she's just trying to get herself some recognition outside of her mom's shadow. So I go on Arden Mirren's podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, a few times, and she does the research. So she said the girls tried many businesses and you know, online influencing. So I think now The Bachelor will give her the boost that she needs. But it's still weird.
Oh, she's young. She's only like 21.
She's a baby. That's the other thing. It's like, you gonna get married?
Wow, that's really young to be on The Bachelor. In.
Like, this is the best years of your thighs, girl. What you talking about? You gonna get married? To who?
There's so many subgenres of influencer at this point, too, that it's like, I guess mommy influencers is a whole category that there's all this drama. I wouldn't even know.
And like, what do you do when you're a mommy influencer? Your kids become less interesting because no one cares about a teen. No one's like, this is what I cut up for my 15-year-old son right before he calls me a bitch and says he hates me.
When you get to the point where you're like,
you got to have another baby.
This is a blanket. It's covered in cum because my children won't stop.
Right. It's like, this is how to get cum out of socks. I use soap and vinegar. What y'all use?
I know that I know there's like a, I mean, it's like totally no disrespect to the mommy bloggers. It seems like it's, I don't know. Anytime you're like truly monetizing your life, it just feel like no matter who you are, it just gets, I feel like you hit a wall eventually.
I don't know. Cause here's the thing. I know it's some, I don't know if I'll ever be slanging shit on Insta. Cause to me it kind of gives like, I need Instagram money and I'm not making, you know, real Hollywood money, but maybe I don't put me, don't, I might be slanging tea next week. So don't hold me to that. I might be like, bitch, this tea made me lose weight. Made my hair grow. I got that WAP after I drank this tea. So, I don't know. That might be me, but I feel like you can do it in a way where people feel like it's authentic, but you're really not telling people a lot about your actual life. But at the same time, totally. Jamie, I'm with you. It does get weird at times, like especially when people, like, it's weird because I think people should be able to post happy things and sad things so that it's a balance of like we're not getting a fake, you know, whatever. Not just post what you want to post. But I remember Hilaria Baldwin, who I love so much, and that's if you don't know, that's Alec Baldwin's Hispanic wife,
scammer ass wife,
who's not Hispanic. Yeah, but
from Boston.
She's from Boston.
Okay. Doesn't remember what cucumbers are called.
Matatutis. She posted when they lost one of their babies, unfortunately, they were in the hospital, and she posted about it, and it was sponsored by Nivea. And I was like, oh my god.
Don't even know where to begin. It's like that just like comes down to like the whole authenticity thing where like there's a demand to be authentic online, but then if you actually are, then you're kind of putting yourself at risk for people to take your actual genuine like self and just relentlessly dump on it.
Yeah.
It becomes like what is authentic? Like you're necessarily like viewing everything through a lens of what is like how it's going to be perceived by your audience. I don't know. Like when I first like started working in content production is a really fun way to put it. But people were like, you know, once you start doing the thing you love and it becomes a paycheck, it's hard to like continue to love it. Like you have to like work to maintain your relationship to it. So it doesn't just turn into like a burden or like another thing that you have to, I don't know, struggle against. And like if that thing, instead of being like your creative outlet, was your entire life, it feels like that would be difficult. I would not be able to do that. I would probably lose. I'd probably start affecting a Hispanic accent.
Right.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it is like a very personal thing where I don't know, like I don't share as much online as I did a couple of years ago because I don't know, you just have enough bad experiences and then you're just like, oh, okay, we're going for an arm's length and that's fine.
Yeah,
too.
I still share like my day to day because I feel like that makes people think it's personal because I'll be like, oh, I'm working out or oh, I'm here. If something funny happens or if my car gets towed,
right.
Like, stuff like that, I'll share. Mm-hmm. But like the one time I shared something that was actually happening in my life, which is like, I have really bad uterine fibroids. It was very sweet, like, but it was just an overwhelming outpour of support. And I was like, now I feel like I have to respond to everyone. Oh, God, what have I done? So
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like the spokesperson for that issue.
Right.
And
so,
like it just, yeah.
So much crazy shit has happened over the pandemic that I've just had to, you know, I'll call my friends and family, but I just keep it to myself because it's like, I just can't. And I guess that's weird for me to be like, I just can't stand how much people love me and are so nice to me. I just, it's too much.
No, but it's a real, like philosophical thing that I think an entire generation is dealing with. And like,
right.
You know, totally, yeah.
But they turn on you too. I've learned about
the
ecosystem of all of this stuff is so interesting to me. Like there's people on Twitter who don't have any followers. And if you go to their page, you won't see a lot of tweets. But if you go to their replies, that's where they're on other people's tweets who do have followings, trying to get likes and get followers. But then they don't have any real tweets. So no one ever follows them. So they don't. Someone just by eating their own tail, like a snake eating its own tail. But every now and then I get mean people. And that's interesting. Like yesterday, but a few days ago, there was a woman who wouldn't stop commenting on my post, and she was like, "You look like Tyrese in a wig," and I thought that was funny. And she was like, "You,
you look like what?"
She said, "I look like the singer / Fast and Furious actor Tyrese, known as Cryrese, in a wig." And she's like, "You look like a roach." Like, she just kept coming back, so I had to block her.
God.
And I was like, "Why does this lady hate me?" It was funny,
I am fascinated by mean people because I'm so conflict avoidant, like inherently, that I'm always just like, God,
some people know you're amazing. You can get dragged. And if you get dragged, that's also a badge of honor. It's like, look at this person. They dragged me.
What, Lacey, is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I don't think that we're talking about this season of Search Party enough. I just found
it
to be such an amazing exploration of whiteness and privilege and just, oh, it's so good. And then also just like where that comes from, narcissism and how deeply unhappy narcissists are. And like, it just, it was great to me. There were so many amazing moments. We had some group kissing, like intimacy between friends. It was just, oh my God. I loved it so much. I know the ending people were kind of mad about, but I loved it.
I didn't have an issue with it. I don't know. It was such a good ride too that I'm like, eh, I could kind of end any which way. And I would have been happy to have watched it. Like it's, yeah, that whole group is so fucking great.
What season are we on now?
Fourth, I think, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've only seen season one. I just got HBO, or just realized that I had HBO Max. So,
Yeah.
Jackie, so
you just got your cable hookup.
Yeah, exactly.
There's actually a gigantic satellite dish behind Jackie. Right,
yeah,
it's a huge satellite dish. I don't think that's
good
for your brain.
I just have to turn it to the eastern corner of the sky, and I can sometimes get HBO. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I loved season one and then have not seen anything since then.
It's cool because like it's one of those shows where it seems like each season is its like own story. It's not just like dragging out like season one. There's like a unique kind of like message and like genre. They play around with like a different genre every season. It's like, it's great.
John Early is so fucking
funny.
He's
so funny.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I'm sorry to Gen Z, but that damn driver's license song. Good Lord. I can't do. I'm so tired of the avocado singing. I just got my driver's license. But also I'm like, maybe I get involved. You know, like seems like an easy check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know she's got like
just nailed it.
The Disney community behind her and stuff. So I know that there's like, you know, the youth, like they have plenty of time to stream the song and blow it up. And I'm sure it's a fine song. But I was like, really? Number one in the world? This what we doing? Like, I was just like, what is this? And I have the same thing to say about avocado singers that I have to say about R&B singers who are doing that, like, scissor, like, what are you saying? I want to sing along. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of having to just be like, can I know the words? What happened?
It's not it's not a karaoke-friendly singing style. Because you're like, oh, I do need the words. I really do need them.
And then when you read the words, you're like, wait, what? That's what they were saying?
She said,
like,
what?
Right. We're all going to be at karaoke like, can we stop all night? Yeah. Seatbelt and I'm riding. Come inside.
That whole album is like, what?
Like, Ariana Grande has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. And I don't ever know what she'd be talking about. I don't know if we talking about sex. I don't know if we talking about... Honestly, Ariana could be organizing for Antifa. She's like, we're going to meet on Third Street and we're going to be... That's how they stormed the Capitol. It was Ariana's single.
Yeah, she was sending messages through her vocals.
She's like, all of Congress will be in the right way. We won't know. We never know.
That driver's license song, that was like one of those things where I didn't think I had heard it, but then I'm like, oh, I've heard that at 7-Eleven every time I've been in a 7-Eleven for a month. I just didn't. It's a real 7-Eleven kind of song.
Oh, it is.
No disrespect. I mean, it's like whatever. Like I, because that was the girl is from like the High School Musical TV series. Is that right?
That's right. Something else.
High School Musical, the movie, the TV show, or something. Doesn't it have like some meta title like that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling like an absolute boomer, not really knowing what it is. But it's like good for her.
This one seems acutely designed to be only meaningful to people between like who aren't of legal drinking age yet. And like that seems like it's kind of creating some of the popularity, because then everybody else is talking shit about it. And like that's actually what makes pop music cool is like that old people hating it. So
it's bizarre. She was in that, and then High School Musical, the musical, the series. Yes, that's exactly what it's called. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. I knew there was one other show, though. Yeah, but I don't know, Jack. It's like, it gives me, like, remember that song that was like, it started with a whisper. Na-na-na-na. It's like, that we all got tortured.
Also a huge 7-Eleven song.
We all got tortured by that song. But was anybody ever like, this is a bop? Like.
Yeah.
They just were like, listen to this song, punching us. Yeah,
just cram it down.
I heard that song like every day of my life.
And I could not tell you. Whose song is that even?
Who knows?
Nobody knows, Jamie. We've been trying to figure that out for years, and the scientific community is still baffled, unable to figure it out.
But I get the little emo side of the kids wanting this Avocado song and liking to listen to it. It's fine. And she plays instruments. I'm not trying to take anything away from her as a musician. I was just like, I don't know. Can we sing with our voices again? No. And we're not going to say words. We're not going to put the T's at the ends of what? No. It's going to be what? No. What? Okay. Fair.
What did you just say?
Right.
Maybe that is like a thing. Like I feel like every generation has like a musical style where they don't respect certain letters. Cause it's like, whatever, like early 2000s pop music, they didn't finish their words either. Yes, where it's like, ba-da. Yeah, it was like more of a vowel issue for that generation. Their vowels are all over the place.
Yeah.
That's very true.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back to talk about less important shit.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. COVID cases are there. If you look at the charts, the cases, the testing is still holding pretty steady, dipping a little bit because people who don't feel sick aren't going to get tested quite as much, but still, for the most part, holding steady. And positives are just falling off a cliff, dropping. It's very positive news, and weirdly, looking at this chart just made me say, you dumb motherfuckers, over and over again, because, like, as much as I knew what the Trump administration was doing was criminally negligent, it's kind of just stark to see it so obviously, like, that the guy who is just doing the very bare minimum and listening to science and, you know, that is causing numbers to drop like a stone. It's actually that simple. I don't know. The more distance we get from the Trump administration, I feel like the angrier I'm going to be, unfortunately, which is going to make this an annoying podcast. I know, but it's just like the more perspective I get on it, the more just, yeah, I guess stark and infuriating it is.
That's understandable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, how much, why do we let him fuck up so much? Also, just like, you know, Chris Rock made that joke of like, in no other profession do you get to just fuck up. And they're just like, but he got a 4-year contract, so we're just going to let him keep fucking up.
Right.
Like, if you're bad at your job, yeah, it shouldn't, I don't understand why the office of president is like, look, you can be terrible at this as long as you don't really break any laws clearly enough that we could be like, you broke the law. Like, is that the bar is on the floor, so you can just be, so Donald Trump could have just never showed up to be president all 4 years and we'd have been like, yeah, he's still in office, but he didn't, you know, he didn't bring no laws. What?
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
not how jobs work. That's not how any other job, yeah, works.
I mean it's like I'm really happy to see that cases are falling, and I also see where you're coming from, that like it just kind of reminds you of how needless so much loss, mm-hmm, was earlier on, because it was like we've just started to do like intuitive stuff right now, and it, yeah, immediately had an effect.
And it's sad for the, yeah, families who unfortunately didn't, they didn't benefit from, like, you know, the people who got COVID early on and the families who didn't benefit, yeah, from all the things that we learned. It's like they got practiced on, and those people sadly are not with us anymore when they very well could have been. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many people. And yeah, I don't like there's other things, like this article just came out on Axios that is just a depiction of a single meeting that happened in December in the White House. that again is just, it's shocking to like view in retrospect, and it's like, wow, we were so close to just complete chaos and civil war. Like, that it's basically one side is Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn and all the kind of conspiracy theorists arguing for him to, you know, basically like take over and like declare martial law, and then like his advisors like trying to like pointing out your legal argument here is like rife with typos and doesn't make any sense. But the meeting ended after like 4 hours of them like shouting swears at each other. The meeting ends with like his advisors saying, do what you want. We've told you the truth. It's up to you who to believe. And the fact that that wasn't, that he didn't then take that as a, you know, opportunity to just surf that all the way to the collapse of America is what I feel lucky that I don't know. It's kind of a miracle we're not all living through a civil war right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like we keep saying, it's not like we avoided an asteroid. We had a brush with like cancer or, you know, something else, and we're in much greater danger of relapse or recurrence than we would otherwise be. So it's like there's still a huge danger. Let's talk about Fox News.
I guess.
Love them.
What's going on over there? Haven't checked in on them in a bit. What's going on?
I miss them.
Yeah.
So did they get new outfits?
Yeah, same outfits. Okay. Same kind of aesthetic, but they're kind of going through an unprecedented identity crisis where they've been caught in an outright lie by themselves. And so, like, because the news division was like, no, that's not true. And so now, like, Hannity is having to admit that they lost the election, and he's, like, blaming himself and being like, not enough people read my book because I told you how dangerous this was going to be. And, like, just seems legitimately, like, depressed. Like, he's suffering from depression live on air. It's just, like, kind of moping. And, yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of amazing to see.
I love the notion of not enough people read my book. Like his publisher was like, no one's reading the book, man. No one's buying it.
He literally said, I'm done with books. I wrote in the book.
That's so funny that he is saying this in 2021. This man was done with books decades ago. Are you kidding me?
He was done with books in second grade.
Yeah.
The book that he dictated, he was expecting more people to read, enough people to win Trump the election.
Oh, boy.
And I think, you know, their ratings are falling. And I do think that beyond just the election, like this article in the Washington Post talks about how, you know, their ratings are falling. They seem to be like suffering from an identity crisis. They're not really sure what to do without Trump. And beyond just like the election and them not really having like a coherent narrative to rally behind on the election, mm-hmm. because Trump kind of led their opinion contributors, as they call them, basically the people who are famous that anybody watches, like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, like, right. Trump led them down a path that was somewhat unsustainable because it was like so, you know, it was like the thing Michael Flynn was shouting for in that White House meeting. Like, it was just rife with typos and completely illogical. And so now they're like kind of coming back down. And this article is like, and now Rupert Murdoch faces a stark choice between, you know, whether to follow Trump and like the Trump supporters or, you know, the traditional conservatives. And I really think it's not that. I don't think they're like trying to decide between the two. I think they're just waiting to see what Trump does next. And they're just going to like back him full hog because, you know, the choice, like they always have known like what side their bread is buttered. And it's like the racism, fascism, authoritarianism side, and their current choice that Washington Post is acting like is a real choice is between this like wildly popular fascist movement and a boring traditional like conservative movement. I don't feel like they're gonna side with like Mitch McConnell and Ben Sasse on that. I think they're just waiting to see what Trump's posture is going to be. Probably either give him a massive platform or you know, just back it. It's tough to say, but it is going to be very bad. I don't think it's headed towards a direction where Fox News comes back to earth and is like, we're sorry.
No, well, because it's like the second they started to back off of like Trump at the peak of Trump breaking a law every second of the day, they lost money and they lost like faith. It's so it's very bleak to watch that unfold and then be like, well, we better go back to extremism because that's what, you know, that's what
paying the bills
money. Yeah. 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 And it works. Like,
I mean, they've already fired two of the guys who were involved with calling Arizona for Biden. And like they contrasted that. They were like, it wasn't just because we're mean to daddy. It was also because when they were on the air on election night, the ratings dipped. And they contrasted that with Dan Bongino. Who like caused ratings to go through the roof, and that dude is like
I'd never heard that name before, but what a
he sounds like
a fun
an
name.
Entertainer.
Dan Bongino.
Dan Bongino. Yeah. You know Dan Bongino about to have the house rolling, okay? I mean, that's the sacrifice you make when you, because they did the exact same thing that Trump did, which was instead of telling the news, they leaned into this new base and just tried to give them what they wanted instead of being a news outlet. So how do you go back to being a news outlet after that? You kind of can't. So now they're just going to become weird fringe news, which is kind of sad because Fox used to, like, it was never respectable news. But, you know, it was news happening over there. I would check it every now and then. When Barack Obama won office, I checked Fox News to make sure it was real because I knew those haters wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
Right.
And they said John McCain lost. Yeah. And I said, okay. But now...
Yes. They couldn't bring themselves to say Obama won, but no. They were like, yeah, it looks like McCain might have lost. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know who the other guy is, but they won.
But Obama swore in on the Quran, so it wasn't. He was never my president, I'll tell you that much. That is an actual thing that the QAnon representative believes.
Oh, they need help.
Woo!
I mean, one of the founders of the Lincoln Project was revealed to be like a sexual predator. That's not shocking. Grooming and soliciting 21 young men, often with promises of political careers. He's like a longtime Republican strategist, was on the McCain campaign in 2008, speaking of, and also John, one of the boring GOP John guys. From Ohio. What's that guy's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there's so many Johns.
Well, one of them. John Kasich.
I was like, John, you're going to ask me to tell one John from another John.
Yeah. John Kasich. He was like involved with campaign. And then he was like one of the handful of co-founders of the Lincoln Project. And
there's four Johns in this story alone.
I know. So God, many Johns.
Stop naming your
Weaver,
kids
John Weaver. John, like John McCain. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. My name is John too, by the way.
There.
I had to
but
change
you had
it
the good sense
to change, to literally change
to Jack.
This is very, this is extremely, I'm glad that, you know, he's been called out. This is so fucking miserable. And the fact that it takes, you know, 21 cases, I feel like we've seen multiple examples of this recently and like, you know, kind of like predatory people being called out is like, it's always like over 10 people that need to come forward before anyone takes it seriously. It's like 21. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That is so bleak.
Yeah. Cause that means that somebody knew. At 21, people knew. That's like Joe Paterno. It's
exactly.
Like,
yeah. Sure.
People knew.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who's been like, they've been working together for like years, like decades. And he wasn't like hiding it, right? Like the 21 people are like, yeah, no, he would Well, first of all, one of them is a 14-year-old who he was asking questions about his body while he was still in high school. And then more pointed ones after he turned 18. And then there are texts. Basically, he made it seem like this is a professional opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. In one text exchange, he told one man he would spoil you when we see each other, help you other times, give advice, counsel, help with bills. You help me sensually, which just the worst way.
Sensually. Creepy. Like, he's also... obviously all the stuff that he's doing is illegal, gross, and creepy. But even the way he texts is just like he's like a man in the shadows. Like, you want some candy? Like, the creepiest kind of pedo. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
These kinds of stories, too. It's like, these are the kinds of stories that, like, specifically set, like, QAnon types on fire. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, you know, they don't agree with the Lincoln Project. Fuck, I barely agree with the Lincoln Project. But, like, you know, it's like, it's trash. I don't, you know, whatever. I won't even say that too much there. But, like, whenever I feel like it kind of, I don't know. I talked about it a lot in Lolita podcast, so it's, like, fresh on my mind. But whenever someone who isn't directly, like, aligned with QAnon, you know, is exposed as kind of a predator, that reinforces this false ideology that, like, everyone we don't like is a child sexual predator. Right. When, like, the reality is that predators like that are in every corner. Like, it's not a political leaning that, like, it's just, I don't know.
Like, they're in your family.
It's so fucking miserable.
Like, come on, y'all. We all have that one uncle that your mom was like, don't sit on his lap. But, like, you can't stay over his house.
Exactly.
Like, so let's stop acting like this. But you know what? It is weirdly embarrassing to me now, too. Like, when the whole Armie Hammer text started to come out, I was like, oh, God, another Hollywood creep. Wow. Now we all look bad. Like, I feel, like, weirdly ashamed when they come out now. I'm like, oh, why would you do this to us? Us.
Right. It's... It's just fucking miserable. It's like I don't know. I'm glad that it got put out, but it's like the fact that they had to get to 21 people that this happened to.
That means that it was just, always whispered about. That means that they probably like, yeah, you know him. He's got a thing for whatever. And it's like, that's not a thing. That's a crime. Why are we not? No one's gonna call anybody.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. Let's take another break, and we will be back to talk about Bezos. Oh. Big news in the world of Bezos, you guys.
Oh, yeah, I love Daddy Bezos.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back, and the world is... like reacting to the fact that Jeff Bezos is stepping down as Amazon CEO to become vice chair, which is another position that allows him to do the same thing he's been doing. Like, I really need someone to explain to me. I've read the articles about this and I cannot figure out why anyone should give a shit about this at all. But people... It just seems like an opportunity for the mainstream media to write articles that reinforce the sort of pro-billionaire propaganda. Like, it's all like he started Amazon in a garage in Washington State, a mere 20 years ago. And it's like, well, he was also a Wall Street guy who then did that. Like, he rented out a garage probably for a lot of money and like outfitted it with an orange couch because he heard that's what you're supposed to do at startups. And like, but
people don't think of garage like that. Like whenever I hear that narrative spun, it's always he started it in his garage. So people are thinking like two car garage, and like he was like Amazon.com, baby rode
like
road
it was
a like
fucking Nirvana or something. Like,
I don't know. It just ties into the overall myth of American capitalism that there's like these individual great man accomplishments and not that this is the inevitable consequence of a system that doesn't defend against monopoly. And like one person is going to get that successful. And like, it's funny, even this Wall Street Journal article, with a day one philosophy of always maintaining an underdog startup ethos. However, in recent years, Mr. Bezos has stepped back from day-to-day management. He doesn't set schedule meetings before 10 a.m. and makes all his tough decisions before 5 p.m. Employees say the billionaire is elusive. That's how they describe it, with many saying they have never spotted him on the company's sprawling downtown Seattle campus. So he doesn't show up to work or works like... you know, between 10 and 5, which are things that would cause somebody to get immediately fired from an Amazon warehouse job.
Right.
Well, also, he could fucking solve world hunger today. Like, yes. I just, discussing the ins and outs of his day to day, I feel like it's just like glorifying some, like, you know, innocuous. Like, who gives a shit what he does at what time? He could fucking solve world of hunger. He could help people, but he is not. He fucking destroyed Seattle, and he's like, just, I don't know. I just, and the way that these stories are framed of like the whatever the like he's just a startup guy who like worked really hard and hustled his way to the top, and it just like implies that he has somehow earned all of this when it's like we know that that's not true. Like
he's exploiting people and that he's killing people and he's responsible for many deaths that they cover up all the time. The Amazon warehouses are an OSHA nightmare, like, and they just hide it. They don't make reports. There's been so much. If you just one quick Google away, you can find out. And that's why I hated when all that negative press came out about Amazon during the pandemic. They made all these weird commercials where they basically were like holding people at gunpoint, like, I love Amazon. They treat me so good here. Jeff Bezos is like a father to me. What is happening? Those were so weird. And also,
yeah, and everywhere. Yeah,
they were everywhere. And if we haven't learned anything from the GameStop thing, is that the game is fucking rigged. Look at what happened when all the little everyday average Joe people got their hands on some stocks that were being shorted. All of a sudden, your app doesn't work and you can't trade at all because it was never built for you to be a millionaire. You're not going to be able to work hard or make trades and be a millionaire because there's already millionaires and billionaires who are going to make sure you cannot get to that level because that's how they stay rich. So I'm like, I'm still praying for GameStop. They in my prayers like they on the sick and shut in. I'm like, please, please, y'all, hold the line. Don't sell them stocks so that we can just, I want to ruin all the hedge funds. I know we're going to end up paying for it in our tax dollars, but I just want to see it happen.
I feel like that one's already been... is already being sunset to like, this is what happens when you go against the big guy, and like being covered as like the GameStop thing was folly.
Right. But it's like, but also keep hustling, everybody. This could be you. And it's like, no,
it couldn't.
It's been made exceedingly clear that it fucking couldn't be us.
I think we all need to just like look at that and realize like that is the perfect example of like, you cannot be a billionaire because billionaires will not let you.
Right. Right.
The thing of specifically trying to reinforce the underdog myth, which is the main motif that gets reasserted over and over again in these articles about him retiring, really seems like it's the War Department thing again. Like I talk about how the U.S. military changed its name from War Department to Department of Defense once they started waging offensive wars, because you like do that, you change the name to be the opposite of the truth so that you can like kind of cover up for it. And like with trying to portray billionaires as underdog stories, like when people look at how billionaires make their fortune, it's always the opposite of that. It's always they find an advantage over someone who's smaller or has less, you know, resources than them, and just exploit the shit out of that until they have billions of dollars. That's the only way to become a billionaire, is by being a predatory capitalist who preys on less powerful, you know, dynamics, basically. But because we don't like the idea that is the secret to capitalism, we tell ourselves over and over again and pay the Wall Street Journal to tell us over and over again that it's all Disney movies where the underdog came up.
It's just like I don't know. And it's weird because I feel like it's kind of unspoken that most people recognize that it is like a false narrative, but it hasn't stopped it from being pushed over and over and over.
Yeah, I think I do wonder if we're like moving in that direction, but it does seem like it's, you know, you wouldn't know it from reading like the mainstream accounts of Jeff Bezos and the way that
it's like a question of like, well, how many of these papers does Jeff Bezos own? You know, like,
right.
It goes all the way to the top there.
Yeah. And this got me thinking about the billionaire space race. Again, which is it really exhausting. Cuts to the core of the like question around capitalism for me, because like, you know, Marx predicted almost 200 years ago capitalism keeps moving out and out and consuming and exploiting resources, and I was like, just as a personal philosophy, was like hopeful at a certain point that wasn't necessarily going to be true. There's this guy Norman Borlaug who like figured out farming and agriculture methods that ended up saving billions of lives, people think. And like, that's, you know, innovation through capitalism that saved billions of lives. So maybe like there's ways that capitalism will help us.
That they're just smarter and more capable and better than you, and that they have the answers to all the world's problems. When it's like, yeah, like you were saying earlier, Jamie, like Bezos could have ended world hunger in a day, and he's not. So if he's such a genius, why are people still starving and dying? But these people are trying to do the Dougie on the moon. What? Why? And like, and it's weird also because there's a thing about genius that spills over, and we've all widely accepted this in America, where it's like, oh, well, Kanye West is a musical genius, so that means he's a genius in every other right. Elon Musk is great with, you know, technology, so I would definitely let him operate on my heart. Like, why can't we understand that there's different fields and there's different, like, no one is just overall the smartest at everything. That does not exist. We all have specific talents. So it's like, why does that not equate when you get up into the upper echelon of money like that? They're just like, no, they know how to do everything. Like, no. Right. They know space because they send packages.
And also, like, equating it with, like, kind of inherent empathy that just, like, is so demonstrably untrue.
They don't need, like, your empathy. You need theirs.
Right, right.
They don't give you any. Yeah. They don't give you any.
I really enjoy, like, space media. I like learning about space. I think it's really interesting. And these billionaires are fucking up space.
Man, fuck space.
I guess now I can't even. I'm like, I can't believe you guys took space from me. Like, what? Space is like fun. They're why? Oh, no, but now I'm like, oh, it is just a gigantic void. It makes sense that they want to go there. It's like.
I mean, there's this article in The Independent where they interviewed, they were like, why do these three billionaires want to go to space? And they just like take them all at their word.
The earth.
they take them all at their word that they were inspired by the moon landing. But there's a quote from Jeff Bezos where he literally says, we humans have to go to space if we're going to continue to have a thriving civilization. We're in the process of destroying our planet. You are.
He said, we go.
I was like, by we, do you mean you and your friends? Like,
Bezos said, I'm going to run through this planet, so I got to find my next one. Bruh.
We've sent robotic probes to every planet in the solar system. This is the good one. We have to preserve this planet. We can do that using the resources of space. So he's basically saying, like, we're just going to go to space and get, like, all the, I don't know, fucking oxygen we need or something. And that's like the fact that they didn't just like focus in on that first part where he's like, yeah, we have to go to space, we're destroying the planet, and me and my rich friends are gonna go to space, what do you think, idiot? Like, and instead we're like, oh yeah, he's gonna help everybody when he goes to space.
That's what they're talking about at dinner parties. Jeff Bezos is like, look, I'm sick and tired of these people dying on the job. If I give me some aliens doing these routes, no one can tell me I can't abuse aliens. We don't got no laws for that.
There's a New York Times article recently about how they are Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, who are the two richest human beings on Earth, other than Vladimir Putin, who are like fighting with each other because of like space laws. And like one of them is trying to bring their satellites into lower orbit and the other one's fighting him. And it's just like such a dick measuring contest. And this New York Times article is like pointing out that they could be working together to give literally everyone on the planet internet, which is a necessity, a thing that we need and that needs to happen like soon. Give all civilizations on the planet like access to the same information technology that is increasingly running the world. But instead they're just like focused on, you know, it's capitalism. Well,
it's
they're
just
finding
like selfishness. Yeah.
Yeah. Selfishness, like, and exploiting.
Well, for the whole pandemic, there's been stories forever about like kids that have to like go hang outside a Taco Bell in order to attend their like Zoom classes. Like, and there's just no, I don't know. And it's fucking pennies to someone like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. It's, I don't know. Everyone knows this shit but they're going to space and there's nothing we can do about it. So,
yeah. I don't know if you guys can hear my children fighting in the background.
But, no,
can't.
That's exciting.
I hope they're, fighting for your love.
Yeah.
Yeah, they duel every morning with Nerf guns, but the winner gets a hug from daddy. shall we talk about Golden Globes? I'm trying to figure out if they're especially bad this year. I've always had a tough time taking the Golden Globes seriously since Johnny Depp won that Golden Globe for The Tourist, that movie with that everybody forgot the second it hit theaters because it wasn't like nobody thought it was good. I don't know. The selection seems especially bad in terms of a this but not that evaluation this year.
This year is only different because we all had the opportunity. Well, a lot of us. There were a lot of people who were essential workers, and I shout out to y'all. Thank you. Who didn't have the opportunity to sit on their couch and be at home for hours on end, tortured, and have nothing but television to relieve the pain. So I've seen a lot of these TV shows. I've seen a lot of these movies, and I feel like that is probably a lot of people's experience as well. Is like this time around, we actually know what Emily in Paris is because we all watched it on Netflix in one sitting. We know what the flight attendant is. So I think that's the only difference is normally there's stuff, a lot of stuff that I hadn't seen. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I recognize that person. But this time around, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I guess this is like the highest concentration probably of like, I've seen more of this stuff than I haven't, which is definitely not how it usually goes.
Right. Yeah. I watched The Great. I watched The Flight Attendant. I watched Schitt's Creek, obviously. Emily in Paris, The Crown, Killing Eve, Ratched, saw that. And I feel like Sarah Paulson getting a nomination for Ratched is just like them being like, Ryan Murphy, we love you, boo. Like, that show was
Same with The Prom. I mean, I enjoyed The Prom, but like the stuff it got nominated.
The Prom got nominated for? Seriously? What did they get nominated for?
James Corden got nominated for The Prom, which is wild because first of all, like a lot of people were criticizing his performance for being like, low-key homophobic in the first place, but there was like a lot of like bullshit performances that were nominated over I May Destroy You, I'm pretty sure got completely snubbed. Yes. Like there's just amazing shows that got nothing. Search Party got nothing. You're just like, well,
no,
I don't know.
And the thing is like I've been seeing a lot of black people and artists and people in the entertainment producers that I follow just being like, look, you know, white people hate us, whatever, we're moving on. Like, we're not going to do this outrage thing again of, like, how you guys hate our shows and our guts. Like, whatever, you love us, you also hate us. What are we going to do? Don't give us awards, whatever, we make shit cool. Boo on you. So, like, we're not going to do the I feel like never all the black people aren't doing the rigmarole this Black History Month. We're like, it's fine, y'all stupid, we don't care. But I have to say, James Corden, that should have, first of all, it should have been Titus Bergeris in that role.
Yes,
and we all know
I totally
it.
Agree. Yeah,
and we all know it.
Yep.
And then it's like, James, that was out of everybody in that movie, they gonna give
it
a
was
nomination
not a good
James,
performance.
He was given the worst.
On top of like,
he gave the girls nothing. He gave them nothing.
And I'm pretty sure none of the girls got nominated. It was just like Ryan Murphy and James Corden, which I'm just like, oh God, this, I don't know. I'm curious on what, I know that Miles has a plug at the Golden Globes, but I don't know. There is like a part of me that's like, oh, it does feel like the internet has reached stasis again when we're arguing about shit like this. And I do like that.
Yeah. The Golden Globes, though, is giving VMAs. It's giving MTV VMAs. It's like, we got to have all the famous girls there so people will watch the show. It's not giving like they actually watched anything. They were like, who's popular? Eric Clapton's guy? Okay. Who else?
There are some that I was like, oh, that's fun. Like, there, I don't know. The Aaron Sorkin, I just am like a general Aaron Sorkin hater. So I'm just like, ugh, okay, we're still doing that. Interesting. Promising Young Woman got some stuff. I really liked that movie. Like, I don't know. There's good shit and there's some very clear snubs. And then there's James Corden in The Prom, which you're just like, come on.
I feel bad for anybody who's in the best performance by an actor drama category this year because Chadwick Boseman is in there posthumously and you just know they're going to give it to him. So it's just like, if you're nominated in that category, just go ahead and stay home because you're not going to get that. They're going to make a whole moment out of it.
I mean,
you're not going to get that.
Don't even log into the Zoom. Don't bother. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked through the entire list in detail, but it just seems like kind of a hodgepodge of shit. But I guess it's like I have seen more of this stuff than I normally would, so, which is why I'm like, normally I wouldn't be like, Ratched, really? But now I know, because I watched that show, right? And I had no fun watching.
I have not heard a single positive thing about that show until it got nominated.
People really didn't like it.
It was weird and problematic. Yeah. But it was beautifully shot. But it was like, what are we doing here? Everyone is confusion. But Netflix told me to watch it. They were like, da-dung. And I was like, okay, what's the next thing, Netflix? I'm watching.
Also,
before I knew it,
The Undoing got a ton of shit, and I don't know. I had fun watching that because it was so frustrating.
You didn't get Undine.
I didn't get Undone. I didn't.
I got Undine.
The end. I was there the whole time, and then the ending. I literally made a charcuterie board for the last night of The Undoing, and I left disappointed.
Oh no,
I went full mom.
Because I mean, they told. I'm not gonna spoil it if you haven't seen it, but I think Hugh Grant played that role, and I think he does deserve a nomination.
He was
He was so he was so good at being himself. Like, he was so good at being charming and British, and you were just like, yes, Hugh. And then, you know, I'm not gonna spoil it, but Hugh did a good job. And
it's
then
fine. I feel like Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman's jackets were the highlight of that show for me.
They were.
Yeah. She can wear a jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many HBO stuff I haven't seen yet. I May Destroy You is getting a lot of attention as like, how the fuck did you leave this off while Emily in Paris was in there?
They're crazy. Like, that's absolutely, unless Michaela Cole didn't submit it, like, that show changed. Like, I had girlfriends calling me and who were like, oh, I didn't know I was assaulted, because they were stealth and didn't know what that was. And like, it was just so powerful and then still somehow light. Like, I could still watch it because, you know, sometimes Euphoria gets bleak for me at times where I'm like, oh, the babies is doing heroin again. I got to turn this off. Like, so, yeah, that's a huge snub, especially with Emily in Paris's. But like I said, the Golden Globes, we all know the Golden Globes they're not the Emmys. They're the VMAs. So, they got to get the celebs there.
They got to get the celebs on the Zoom call. I'm also like, why not just like nominate people that like actually gave the best performances this year if you can't even have a ceremony? Like, come on.
But they want you to watch the Zoom.
And also, if you're going to be...
They want you to watch the Zoom really bad.
If you're going to be the fun awards show, like, do something fun with the categories. Like, have a best, like... Best last episode, best, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, don't just do the Oscars, but over again. Like, somebody was pointing out that it's still so strange that they divide acting between actors and actresses.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. Why is that?
So they can have more categories, I guess.
I did.
But what annoys me still is, why does drama always get its own special thing? And then comedy, which is arguably harder, is literally comedy, musical, that one YouTube video, like, they put everything in one category. Like, why we gotta compete against everybody else? Anything else that happened on TV.
Yeah. Right.
Comedy and musical is very strange that they're lumped together.
I really hope that Maria Bakalova gets the award in her category, though, because I loved her so much in Borat. She was so good.
She was so good. I don't know how they did that. Sacha Baron Cohen was amazing in Borat. That was very good.
He was great, yeah.
That is kind of cool that they nominated Borat for a couple of awards. Probably
cool
not a
it,
sign
like,
of things to come in the Academy Awards.
Oh, Sacha Baron Cohen's up for the Trial of Chicago 7, though, not Borat?
That's...
And also Borat, I believe.
He's nominated for both.
Oh, he's nominated for both. Okay.
He's nominated in drama. And I agree with
Sacha.
Borat, but I was telling you guys off mic, my dad called me livid about his Boston accent in Trial of the Chicago 7. But like, best of luck to him. Hopefully not a lot of Academy voters are from Boston.
Well, Lacey and Jamie, it's been so wonderful having you both on today. Where can people find you and follow you?
As always, you
can... Jamie, Lacey, let's go with you first. Sorry about that.
Oh, as always, guys. Well, if you like comedy and you like robbery, you listen to my podcast, Scam Goddess Pod. And then you can always find me at D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Oh, and I'm back on ABC's The Con. So look out for that.
Hell yeah.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, there is. Okay, so this tweet actually comes from my good Judy, my good homegirl, Mary Anthony. You can follow her at Mary E. Anthony 1. That's a horrible Twitter name, Mary. But Mary E. Anthony 1 on Twitter. And she took a picture of, like, I don't know if you guys can see, but it's like feminine products like Vagisil Tampax and Summer's Eve, which Summer's Eve is like a spray you like put in your vagina to smell good. And she says, which one of these will make my cooter taste like Baja Blast? So I really love
Baja
that.
Baja Blast content.
Yes. That's for you, Jack.
Jamie, where can people find you? Thank you so much. Where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me wherever you want on Twitter, Instagram. Listen to Lolita Podcast. It just finished up this week. And I'm going to shout out a Hunter Harris tweet. She had a great just string of Golden Globes takes this morning. And my favorite was Aaron Sorkin getting nominated for directing is like Bohemian Rhapsody getting nominated for editing.
Right.
Damn.
Great. All of Hunter's takes are just no notes, flawless. So. Follow her at Hunter H. Harris.
Let's see. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Mariana, best ass on this app, tweeted, I prefer sativas as a fun way of saying you don't have an anxiety disorder.
Yes.
at Cotton Can Daddy tweeted, Jeff Bezos is not special. Like, I could easily be mega wealthy CEO too if I had absolutely no regard for human life and slept upside down like a bat. Combination Taco Bell tweeted, we drained the Kool-Aid man and refilled him with Baja Blast as a prank, and he just did a kick flip and robbed a bank. It was fucking insane.
Baja Blast is really winning.
Yeah. More Baja Blast content. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. And we're going to ride out on Girl Like Me by Jasmine Sullivan, featuring her, a recommendation from one super producer, Anna Hosnier. It's a good song. I don't know. I don't have anything to say about it because I am just about to hear it with you guys. But it's got good vibes, I bet. Chill vibes. We're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for today. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye. Something different. Still don't know what I was missing. What you asked, I would have given. It ain't right how these hoes be winning. Yeah, they be winning. I'm hopeful, girl, like we. How come they be winning? How come they? And I ain't wanna be, but you gon' make a whole out of me.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.